Are y'all there telling us what it's all about? Because it's time to tell us what it's all about.
Great morning.
Great morning.
What up, though?
Question of the day, not question of the day. Can you guys tell when Ambush is, like, can you hear in his voice when he's looking over his glasses like I can?
Damn.
Wow. That felt very Don Cheadle and Kevin Hart. Oh man.
Oh. Good morning.
What up though?
Beyoncés, are you as rip-roaring tired, rip-roaring exhausted as we are. Life is living right now.
Yeah.
It's doing the Watusi.
I was going to say that.
Were you?
I was like, is she going to go Watusi here?
It's one of my faves.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm be honest. I don't know what the Watusi looks like. You know? It's one of those, like, I'm sure I've seen it.
Yeah. I'm sure.
I've seen someone do the Watusi.
Yeah.
I don't think I've done it.
I can say pretty confidently that I haven't.
I feel confident in saying I haven't. I certainly have never had a lesson.
Yeah, I feel like one would know if they've done the Watusi.
Do y'all know how to do the Watusi? Is that a...
Like
a regular kind of dance you learn in dance class?
They're like, the Y2K? What are you talking about?
I know. What's going to be funny is I'm going to find out that this is not a dance. You know, like, here I am. Ha ha. Life is doing a number on me. And then it's going to be like, you know, that word comes from...
etymology.
The etymology of that word is this. Oh. And it started in the center of the slave ship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to be that.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no.
Good morning, Michelle. Michelle said, tell me what it's all about in this lovely post-racism, post-sexism society we are so clearly living in.
I love it. Welcome. I love it, Michelle. Nailed it.
It's a hate-free zone.
Yeah.
That America. Yeah. You just put signs up that say hate-free zone. And then everybody loves everybody.
Is that like an enterprise zone? What's
an enterprise zone?
Isn't that one of those designations they created to assist with gentrification?
Oh, certainly. I'm sure. Yeah. I just don't know that name specifically, but you know, urban renewal comes in many names.
It does.
Many costumes. It does. Sometimes it even says it's for the people it's not for.
It's got plenty of jackets to wear.
Yeah. Mm. Custom Louis Vuitton jackets or something. Yeah,
if you will.
I don't know. Well, I'll tell you what we're talking about. I'll tell you what it's all about today. What it's all about is data centers in Hillsboro trying to do one of those takeovers and the politicians that pave their way. Mm. And if y'all missed it, and this is scary, you know, strap in. If you're in the car, put that seatbelt on. You should have already had it on.
Yeah.
But make sure you have it on. Don't slam on the brakes. If you're at home, don't fall off your couch. This is the kind of news, you know, that a campaigning person for district attorney would be using against a sitting district attorney. I think we may have seen something like it.
Mm.
When Nathan Vasquez, Multnomah County DA, is set to dismiss over 600 misdemeanor and felony cases. And we'll go over why. We'll go over why we already knew that. Mm. And so we'll weird. Talk about how ridiculous the tough on crime signaling is, especially when you know you can't do none of the stuff you're talking about.
The DA, the mayor, what's the difference?
Oh, a lot, but in ineffectualness? How do you say this?
Yeah, I think ineffectualness, I think that's it.
Tens across the board for both of them. They're doing a fantastic job at being ineffectual.
Oh, yeah. I was...
And to me, most of that is keeping the residents of the cities that they claim and the counties they claim to serve safe. And neither one of them seem interested in that. Or housed, you know.
I was...
different, I guess.
What made me even draw the comparison was that very last line when you were like, you know, campaigning on things that we knew... Isn't going to work out.
You said Renee Gonzalez?
Okay.
That's not what you said?
Maybe. Oh, boy.
Because I very much remember him also campaigning on things to be mayor that you could not do. I remember him campaigning on things to be on city council that you could not do, that you wouldn't be responsible for. And people were like, get that businessman in there, you know? Get that social justice warrior out of there. That whole mentality. Get the woke mentality out of here.
That's what I remember.
Yeah.
The way I can recall it.
I'm just happy that power grab didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm happy about. Anywho.
So that's what we got going on today. What's going on with you guys' personal business?
Anybody watch the State of the Union?
Yeah.
Anybody out there doing the tortures to themselves? I didn't. Surprise. I did not.
Did you like, did you like have it in your headphones while you were working? I don't know. Like,
well, you know, I. Oh, wait. Okay. Put a pin in State of the Union real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Because something. I'm noticing something, and I don't know how it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But do you remember in the beginning of Trump running the first time?
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of people that were like, my parents are just like all of a sudden stuck watching Fox News. They're watching Fox News all the time. Do you?
Yeah. Like, I kind of remember that. They're,
like, my parents never really watched that.
Yeah.
You know. And
because it became like his TV show, his TV network. So it was Trump, Fox News. Yeah.
So my parents have, you know, like a Fire Stick, and they don't really know how to use it. You know, we can navigate sometimes, we can get to some channels, we can sometimes get to exactly where they wanted to go on their own. Not often. They also don't necessarily, my dad doesn't necessarily want help. You know, he's like, hey, man, I got it.
It's
dude,
a clicker.
I know exactly how to use a clicker. Get out of my face. Jeez. Probably needs new batteries, though. Anyway.
No.
Inside joke for later.
Why would you say that? Okay.
Dementia is funny sometimes. Like, you know how Ken says... Racism isn't funny, but sometimes it is. Yeah. Like, clearly dementia is not funny, but sometimes
it is rip-roaring hilarious.
The kids say the darndest things.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway. So, my dad is often going to, like, KGW has a app, a channel or whatever.
I guess I should have realized they would, but never crossed my mind that they did.
And it's like, KGW Plus or 8 Plus or something like that, right? And that is the news he watches in the morning. Now, they don't live in Portland. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I guess that you get some Vancouver things in our local news, metro area and whatnot. This entire week. So today is, so for 4 days, Sunday through yesterday,
mm-hmm.
he has started watching KGW, and I'm hearing local news, you know, and all of a sudden I'm doing something in there and I hear things that don't really make a lot of sense.
Oh, God.
And then I hear him sort of like talking back to the TV, you know, like, well, that's not true. And I notice, how'd we get on Fox? You're on Fox.
So he starts his mornings with KGW and then goes to Fox?
He says he doesn't do anything, but he doesn't know if he does anything.
Yeah, right.
Right? If you ask him, he says he didn't touch the remote. And then once he realizes what's happening, he's like, get this out of here. But for me, it's the smooth transition. It's literally like I'm hearing a commercial and then it's like Kaylee McEnany or something. You know what I mean? It's like, wait. Did that person just say the Epstein files with Trump don't matter at all? Dad, what are you watching? Wait, why is this Fox News? He's like, I don't know.
It's different. Like it was like back in the day and you're watching live television and you just click, you know, channel up or channel down and you just end up on the next whatever. That's interesting.
It's not that easy.
No.
But it is if you're in app. It is if you're in certain apps is what I'm noticing with them. I think that I am the one who uses the Fire Stick pretty limitedly. What I mean? Like, I'm going to the things I know I want to go to. I'm going to watch the shows I want to watch. I'm not
perusing.
I'm not perusing. I'm not like, what's on Pluto TV? Or, it's just going to every app that's there. Anyway, State of the Union is what we were going for. Yeah. Shout out to the text message that I cannot read at all.
But we agree with your sentiment.
They did not watch the State of the Union because they do not mess with Trump.
Nah, and I
heard, Chef.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And same.
I heard it was historical.
For being long or something.
That's it. For being long.
For having... I haven't seen as many standing ovations.
Was it a concert? Jeez.
So I didn't watch it. I did see some clips. I did, put it on a highlight reel of some sort that was like 45 minutes. I put that on for my parents yesterday. And so there was an amazing moment. This is why also get your old people outside. So my dad had to go to the ER yesterday and Lily is bringing him home and he sees that gas is almost $5. Mm. Right? He's like, $4.77. And I guess he's flipping out. He gets home. I put the thing on. And Trump says they've gotten gas down to under $2. Now, would my dad have known it was under $2 had he had not seen that? Yeah, I think he would have thought it was a lie. Yeah.
He'd be like, oh, there's no way that's
But
true.
To see that the cheapest gas on Mill Plain as they're, going... is $4.19. He's like, there's absolutely no way that anything this guy says is close to true. It's those kind of examples, I think, that really stick with certain brains.
Yeah.
Like, hey, if you lie to me about the price of gas,
what else?
I can see that outside.
Yeah.
I took my dad's car away from him, so he doesn't go get gas anymore. So he doesn't really have
a reason.
He's not at the gas station.
He's not shopping around for gas prices anymore.
No.
Yeah.
But the blatant, those kind of, that stuck with that brain that doesn't retain a lot of new information. So throughout the night, he's like, he's talking about gas is under $2. In Iowa. In Iowa. But even in Iowa, is it $1.85?
Reporting live.
$1.85 in Iowa because the head of the federal government made it so. How come it's not that everywhere else?
Like, come on, man. Come on. Cut it out.
You know?
Cut it out.
I also think that it's that kind of event for him serves as like a shame ritual. Like, he wants so badly to spit on Democrats, you know what I mean? And, like, the type of people...
Yeah.
He continuously was like, you should be ashamed of yourself. And I just can't imagine someone who is mentioned over 1 million times in what has been dropped of the Epstein files has any... words of you should be ashamed. Like, it's just this that I don't even mean like, oh, you're such a hypocrite. I just mean like, how does it, what are you,
what?
I can't even imagine having half of those allegations on my jacket. You know?
You know how busy of a life you'd have to live to have half the allegations that he has?
Bruh.
What else could you possibly have been doing with your entire life?
But harassing.
That's it.
And
assaulting. And yeah. That's a full-time gig, bro.
Yeah, the way that the allegations.
The way they're racked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, ain't no part-time work, fam. No.
So the work was the assaulting.
Yeah.
And. Ooh,
long day.
This is how he continued to go bankrupt, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
There was no business being done.
There was no ROI there. For him. No, not at all.
Somebody was funding him, so.
Yeah.
Wonder what their ROI was.
So you said he had dragged out some people. I see here outside of the Olympic hockey team, a National Guard member and a former Venezuelan political prisoner. Who was reunited with family. He brought out people.
He brought out a political prisoner from Venezuela.
You said, I think it was about this last night, that these are everyone that he brought out or invited were people that were affected by his policies.
I said, I don't remember saying that.
Oh, wow.
I like it. Sounds
yeah,
good.
Just, I love it. Yeah. You said that to me last night, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this guy.
Well, I mean, everyone is impacted by his,
sure,
you know,
yeah.
And here we are with the, did we even talk about this yet? El Mencho? Yeah, we did. We talked about that on Monday.
Yeah.
The news I saw from The Intercept this morning was that Mexican government was able to capture and kill him because of help from a secret, I don't know what you, like, arm.
Okay.
Of the U.S. federal government and ICE.
Oh, they sent some operatives in.
Yeah.
Some assets, if you will. Oh, okay. All right.
So, you know, a little more of that boomerang. We as a country, not individuals here.
Now we here in the studio.
Yeah. Continuously destabilize other countries, other economies, their communities, so that we can create the instability there, the violence that comes with that instability. Those folks get pushed out of their communities and their countries. Mm-hmm. They migrate north. They come here. And then they get a whole different type of brutalization in the way of being demonized, being exploited for their labor. And we're just, you know, like, hey, all this cheap labor's great until someone needs to run for something. And then we're going to talk about the migrant caravan crisis that we don't have anything to do with. But I wonder how those, you know, cartels got U.S. military weapons. I wonder how that happened.
This could all be so different if we just minded our business. This could all be so different if we just kept our boots out of other people's countries.
On our own ground. On our own necks.
Yeah. Like, really? If we weren't just delivering imperialism.
I was going to say, imperialism does not allow you to keep your boots off of someone else's ground. Jeez. You got to tread. You know, you got to tread on thee. Tread on everybody. And while telling them you're the best. While telling them you want to be like this.
Right.
While telling them we're the ones with the power. Also, you could get a little power
If you're interested, you're willing to get your hands dirty.
I'm down to talk about regime change if you are.
I did catch Ilhan and Rashida Tlaib, representatives, shouting from their seats. Ilhan was like, you're murdering, you've murdered U.S. citizens. I was like, let's go.
Literally.
Let's go.
They could have said that last time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't mean that they did anything wrong. Yeah, I mean, sure. It's unfortunate.
It's a consistency. With
it's a consistency. Yeah. Look at him doing a great job being consistent.
And he accused the Democrats of weaponizing economic concerns for political gain. Sir.
You have taken all the money and given it to your friends.
These are legitimate.
And the Democrats are literally doing nothing.
Yeah.
They're doing. The money is already in Elon's pocket. You know what I mean? Like, whoever, all of them. They're trying to let the Bannon off every hook. I can't.
If you want a bird's eye view, like situation room type perspective on what the Democrats are doing, the strategies, the game plans, the way they're going to save us. Follow Hakeem Jeffries on Threads.
I'm sorry, that was so loud. Someone is definitely going to text in and be like, Morgan Cackle was too loud today. I did not see that coming. I was waiting to see where you were going, and I also wanted to add something, and no, I don't. Follow Hakeem Jeffries. You know what? Nah, I'm leaving. I'm out of here.
That man's account is the epitome of rage bait. It's the epitome. It's just Hakeem, will you please be quiet?
Who's running the account?
Yeah.
You gotta, like, my man.
It's to that point now. People are like, hey, whoever is running this account, please tell Hakeem. Like, this is how they're responding. It's like, we got to do something. And then, resign.
We got to listen.
There's a lot of we going on here, sir.
I remember being pretty upset when Elizabeth Warren gave us the tweet of the lifetime of being like, are you guys seeing this? It was like, lady?
We are up to our ears in it. So, yeah.
Lady, you're a senator.
Oh, my God.
I don't understand what they think is happening there. Like, we got to do something about this. Who is we?
Please.
You got to let me know what you plan to do.
Right.
Because you keep doing nothing and then saying we need to do something. Are you not a part of the we?
You know what? The response, we should start hitting them back. Well, what did we do last time? You're right. We got to do something. But what did we do last time? Let's take it back. Let's pick up where we left off. Oh, you were never doing anything. Cool. Before requesting that we do something, again, how about the get started? I promise I'll jump in once you guys get started.
I want to know what an elected official is currently in, their seat, their position of power is saying, anybody else seeing the same thing I'm seeing?
How different is it from what the Republicans are doing?
No.
You know what I'm saying? In the way that we just, these Dems are in the way. We can't get anything done.
Lies.
What?
Fabrications.
So what you mean to tell me is...
They're getting plenty done.
Right. What you mean to tell me is, you want me to believe that you can't get anything done, and then the Dems over here want me to believe you, too, can't get anything done without my $5. What is...
Well, they can't. I mean... You know, you got to get big money out of elections somehow. What is that's going to be $5 at a time.
Siphon it out. What is a constituent to do?
Michelle said, and you know what? Real quick, I just want to say, this is why I am so thankful for the community that we have, because I didn't see this part. So here I am, not even mentioning it. Michelle said, the bar is in hell. But the Dem counter-programming to the State of the Union was actually kind of good. Mm. Platforming people whose loved ones were kidnapped, Epstein survivors, etc. But Hakeem Jeffries was not present, since he was executing his strategy of being in there gray rocking or something.
Or something.
Well, you know, you can't be everywhere at once, Michelle. Okay.
Yeah.
What do you expect from him?
Cut the guy some slack.
Cut the guy some slack. He's in charge?
Yeah.
Question mark? And so, who'd he send to do it? Did he send someone good?
Oh, Lord.
If what we have to look forward to, and I'm not joking when I say this, is the leadership of Hakeem Jeffries or Senator Cory Booker.
Oh, God. We're in deep doo-doo.
Fried and fertilized, you know? Just, like, go ahead and forget it all. And if we're still looking at those kinds of politicians as people that are going to do anything other than kowtow to whoever lobbyists, whatever corporations, whatever someone else's agenda. Like... I'm dismayed.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what has given me a little bit of, a little boost to my battery?
Mm.
It's certainly, and I want to be clear, it certainly isn't the amount of snow that I'm missing out on by not being on the East Coast. But I do love the way our favorite mayor has handled the snow situation in New York in local news.
In local news, Mayor Mamdani. Not only do I like the way that he's handling that, I'll just say, the emergency snow shoveling program saw a dramatic spike in enrollment after President Donald Trump highlighted it during his State of the Union address. Mayor Zohran Mamdani said Wednesday, according to the mayor, 1,400 New Yorkers signed up for the program on Tuesday alone, more than doubling its size.
Wow.
Mamdani thanked Trump and congressional Republicans for drawing national attention to what he described as a longstanding city initiative. Quote, I didn't expect this much attention nationwide on our emergency snow shoveler program, Mamdani said, noting the effort has existed for years as part of the city's storm response strategy.
Wow.
He added that the heightened visibility helped inform residents about how they can participate, resulting in more than 1,000 enrollments in a single day. Quote, that in and of itself doubles the size of the snow shoveling program that we first found when coming into the office, he said.
Wow.
During his address, Trump referenced the city's requirement that temporary snow shovelers provide two forms of identification, comparing it to support his voter ID laws in national elections. Mamdani has said the identification requirement is mandated by federal law. It is not his own law. While Trump called the mayor a nice guy with bad policy.
He loves him so much.
He can't help himself.
Yeah, he's gushing.
Literally gushing. Yeah. Ah, such a great guy. Bad ideas. The mayor suggested the unexpected publicity ultimately strengthened the city's emergency response roster.
You guys, $30 an hour to go shovel snow. $45 an hour in overtime. That's That's the rate.
Did they didn't it say that the like the streets were clear in a day? Like so many people so signed
clear.
Up.
So clear. So quick. People were like, there is money right outside my door. Yeah, I'm going to go do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You listen to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM and in the Halem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Yeah, that's... Mans put the word out. Mans did, he did publicity.
Well, if Trump knows anything, it's PR.
That's,
you know? I can't tell who this is, but this...
Is that Phil?
Oh, good morning, Phil. Phil said, feels like it's time for a successful insurrection. JK, JK. Obviously a joke, obviously. And then said, forget about Hakeem. Did y'all listen to the new baby Keem yet? And Phil?
Phil.
Casino, baby!
So have you heard it?
Casino, baby!
All right.
Ambush, I am from the West Coast. Oh. You think I haven't listened to Baby Keem yet?
So
you? I wish there was a camera in there.
I know, right? That was good.
Yeah.
So the reason I asked is because I remember when he dropped the documentary in three parts.
And I have not seen that.
So when I watched the first part and I mentioned it to you, I mean, it was probably at the end of a day in which you've done a billion things. Your enthusiasm was like, yeah. So I kind of thought maybe the role
and Morgan don't really go together right no. now.
So I thought maybe the we're on a break. We needed some space.
We definitely are not doing well. Me and
we're not on the same page. We're not on the same page.
Same page, and it's hard to get you know.
Yeah.
On the same page when you're in different books.
Get that. It's hard to get that magic back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That spark.
The spark.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe okay, you know what?
She's in a lull. She's yeah, not she's listening chill. To new music.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is fair. That's a thing I do because I am very weird.
Listen, I won't say weird, but you're reminiscent of another person that you know means a lot to me. Does the exact same thing. I gotta be careful when I introduce music to either one of you because it could go wrong. If it's something you really really love, don't force it on somebody.
That, definitely don't.
Yeah. Don't be like, all right, you got some Wale on. All right, I'll circle back around.
Yeah. I'm definitely that. Don't push nothing on me.
Yeah. So I hadn't myself, I hadn't listened to it either. Not because I didn't want to. I kind of forgot about it because we weren't talking about it in the house. You know what I'm saying?
That's fair.
Okay.
Ish.
So, Phil, one of us has. One so of us
I
has
there. I won't. I won't do too much, I guess. I'll just say I do have moments where I'm like, oh, new album. I do care. Mm-hmm. I'm not in a space to take this in.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it's like I need to, excuse me. Depending on the work that I'm working on,
yeah.
I might need to know the words.
Yeah.
I might need to know the songs that I'm listening to. I don't have the capacity to take in whatever the new...
Yeah. Musical motivation is real.
Well, okay.
It's like, there. Yeah, you can't just... It's not like I'm just going to put on something in the background while I'm doing this or I'm doing that. But sometimes it's like, no, I need to have a specific...
Whew. Kind, yeah.
Power myself through this thing. I gotta get done. Let me go to this single real quick. All right, let's go. Let's go. Let's hop in here. Yeah, I get it.
Do you? There's a question of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an instant motivating song that can like shift your mood?
Oh yeah, couple.
Are you willing to share?
One that pops in my mind very quickly. Definitely Precision.
Big Sean Precision.
That comes on. It's a wrap.
Pew pew. Ay.
Whatever needs to get done for the next minute and 45 seconds or however long that song is.
Yeah, 2 minutes.
2 minutes, 12 seconds.
Yeah.
Boom, on it. It's getting done. We're
hours
doing
worth
it.
Of work, finished.
It's just long enough for an 80s movie montage. It's just long enough. You know? You hear it rising in the background. You know, under the car or something, and you hear that beat rising, and it's like, hey, what are you doing? And I roll out from under the car, and I'm like, well, we got to get done. And then, bam, back up. And then the beat rises.
Yeah.
That's already a good 20 seconds of the song gone.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, after that, it's go time. Montage.
Love it.
You know? Yeah.
I love a good montage.
Yeah.
Okay, so Precision by Big Sean.
Yeah.
And you said you had a couple. Do you want to give one more?
Definitely. What's it's Tuxedo.
Mm.
Do It.
Ah.
Is that the one with the music video with the dancers?
All of their music videos videos of dancer.
Or he's the valet and he goes to the dance audition.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah. I love that guy.
Let's go.
In that video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that joint. Yeah.
Well, you didn't ask, but I'm going to tell you.
I'm very interested, by the way.
When I'm having a rough one over in Jonestown, and I need to, we got to focus. We got to
lock in.
Euphoria. Twice.
Wow. Wow.
Mood.
That warms me.
Gifted.
That warms me. I love Euphoria.
It's my favorite song of that whole situation.
Same.
No, yours is 616, I thought.
Oh, wait. I'm confusing the two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one's too chill. You can't.
Oh, 616.
It's an Al Green. I love it, but that's not going to hype me.
That swing moves me. The swing on that beat. I'm just like, oh, let's go. I'm good. What? Oh, I love it. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not mine.
It's not your jam.
Not for that.
Yeah.
Not for switching. Not for getting me in gear.
Yeah.
If I got to get in gear.
Would you say that?
Exposing battle raps.
I was going to say.
Strip you to the gristle.
The gristle.
Battle raps.
The white meat.
Yeah.
I was going to say, would your runner up be Sean Paul's Like Glue? Would that be, you know?
That's Lily's.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's definitely Lily's.
Okay. Shonda Paul. I'll do some notes.
Another one for me, though, is Meg Thee Stallion, Hiss, which is another gristle.
Banger.
Battle song.
Okay.
I guess I just like making fun of Drake, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
That is not the case, you guys.
You do like me about Drake, though.
Well, do I?
Oh, we have a bald on it.
Okay.
Yeah, there's too much on the record for us not to be a question.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. And then to just round it all out, I have a lot of songs from The Weeknd that will get me.
Oh yeah.
Just okay. Now I'm back in business.
Mm.
And it goes two different ways because early Weeknd is a lot of slow, like.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Yeah, but he's not saying slow. It is not.
Yeah.
The words are fast.
Fast pace.
And by that, I mean the life.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're picking up what I'm putting down. Okay. Glass tables all around.
Okay.
Huh?
Okay.
Hey.
Thank you.
Hey.
Glass tables.
Never been to one of those parties. Maybe one of these.
Oh, you know? God. Okay.
All right, I'll be quiet. Music break?
Yeah, sure. I was going to say, what's that black hippie song?
Vice City.
Vice City. That's another one.
That is another one.
Vice City. On Lupe's album, Posse Cut.
Oh, Choppa.
There's so many.
You know what I've been listening to? I'm trying to remember. What's that? It's an Outkast song, and it's Gangsta-ish is the name of the song.
Like, okay.
Do you really want to know about some Gangsta-ish?
Yeah.
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 That one's been good because that Three Stacks verse is insane.
I haven't heard it in so long. I need to revisit.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Just give yourself the fun. But like Choppa, yeah. There's a couple of verses I had my druthers, as my mother says.
Okay.
No, I'm taking those off.
Oh.
I'm taking them off.
There's verses you would take off of Choppa?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk about that off the air. Okay. I'm curious. I'm like, open up.
They just don't. They're just like, hey, man, do you know what we're talking about here?
Did you show up? Did you show up for the right thing?
Give us a little more energy. Where's your enthusiasm? Gotcha. You can't be on a break with enthusiasm you're on a Lupe Fiasco posse cup.
You are executive producing. I love it. Speaking of choppers.
I do love that title.
There is
give me one.
There is that, you know, situation that city council. We could do that. We can come back to that after the music break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that... Whew. Guns R Us? What'd you say?
I wish I did.
Phil said, I love Euphoria too. My instant motivation song is the intro to Common B. And you know what?
Oh.
I hear you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that's a fresh cup of coffee in the morning.
Yeah, I feel
get your
that.
Life started on the right track type vibes. Yeah.
I was listening to Black John Legend the other day. And, what happened?
You said Black John Legend, and I heard Black Jack Johnson. And then it was like, wait a minute. She said, like, ears, bring it in. She said Black John Legend. Oh, Lord. You know John Legend, but the black one.
Yeah.
Got you. Okay. Go ahead. Continue.
Oh, that just, you know, just so good. That's all. Yeah. He was on a Stevie tribute that I played for my parents, and I was like, man, I haven't listened to Get Lifted in a long time.
Stereo, is that on Get Lifted?
No.
What's that on, the second album?
Second or third, yeah.
Wow.
Second.
Stereo was a banger.
I'm trying to remember, because I worked at the S-Bucks at the time that album came out.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, is that all we listened to.
I was about to lie on you so bad. And you were like, I used to work at that. I was going to say Tower Records.
Oh, man. I wish.
Yeah.
But not Tower. Like, yeah. I wanted very badly to work at Music Millennium.
Mm. Yeah.
That's where I wanted to work. I actually wanted to work at Galore. That is how old I am. If anybody else here is like, oh, my God, I remember Galore. Yes, we are best friends.
Yeah.
I wanted to work there, but I knew that I wouldn't be able to handle the, it was too popping.
Okay.
It was too popping.
Too much music conversations over. Just too much.
Work will I get done?
Yeah.
But at Music Millennium, I could get work done. I watch Versatile do it all the time.
Man.
You know? Shout out to Versatile.
Shout out to Versatile. Consistent shouts to Versatile. All right.
Always. Okay.
Let's hop into the music break.
Do it.
And we'll come back out.
Euphoria.
Give you guys some news. Dang, I should have looked for a clean version.
No, you shouldn't. It's worthless. Don't do that.
Oh, okay. All right. Go catch her inside the music break.
Man, it's never worthless, but...
Welcome back to News My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush right here on X-Ray FM. Join the conversation. Shoot us a text at 971-220-5979. Again, that is 971-220-5979. Little known fact. Jamiroquai, that last song I just played, I don't know why it slipped in my mind. I was there for the studio session. That was me. And, Morgan, I don't think our listeners could hear. The gems I'm about to give them, the inside, you know, I was there. Yeah. I was there for this studio session. It was a long day. Long day, you guys. It was, you know, these drums don't sound quite right. Ambush, get back in there, give it another run. You know, it's, again, I'm very happy with how things turned out, though.
You played the drums on that song, is what you just told us?
On Jamiroquai's All Right?
Yeah.
Yes. Did I play them on the steering wheel of my car, possibly? after the song was produced.
AJ, are you here? Because can you come get him? Can somebody, Jess, are you listening?
Someone that knows him real well that can talk him down.
Probably already at work.
Someone that can talk him down. Sun's getting low, big guy.
Yeah. Wowie, wee wow. Never expected you to come back and say that.
Apparently, your riotous laughter, you know.
I was unprepared. I want to be clear. I had no idea that that's where you were going. It was top tier funny.
Well, most people will refer to that as a truth. You heard it.
What? All right, I'm taking this over. This is my show.
Okay.
Okay? And I know what I'm doing.
Oh! What happened? Oh, texts are coming in late over here.
I think there's a C's. I don't know, because the 540 DJ Catbush. New DJ name unlocked. It's happening. DJ Catbush. Because you be capping. My man said, I don't know why it's escaping me. I was in the studio session. How was I not supposed to? What?
Oh, no, Catbush is that word.
Catbush is that word. That wow. Is. Boy, oh boy. You're getting called that at home when you're like, I definitely was the one that did the dishes or whatever. You're It was C's. Good morning, C's.
It's terrible that C's is that recognizable. Yeah.
Can you see that? This other one says
Billy Joe.
Good morning, Billy Joe. Didn't watch the State of the Union, but did get a big laugh at the elegant dinner of McDonald's burgers for those Olympic pedo cheering heroes.
Oh, man.
Off to the community center on a nice cool morning bike ride. Billy Joe, it is cold. What's the gear? How are you staying warm? I know your body's moving and that helps.
Yeah, sure.
What's the gear? I want to know, you know, there were a few people that I worked with that rode their bikes from far places when I was at the opera. Mm. And, you know, they were get to work super early, take a shower, change your clothes. No one knows that you just rode your bike for an hour or whatever, which I can't imagine doing in any morning because I don't know how to wake up and just have my brain work.
Man, the sweat from that too, because I sweat real heavy. The sweat from riding a bike in the morning and then having to go into work, I could not imagine. I could not.
But if you got to get to work and take a shower and get dressed, would you be?
I think that would be awesome. I feel like fully refreshed and ready to jump into the day.
Yeah, I feel like that would work for you. And yeah. That is not something that would work for me.
Yeah, I felt that level of refreshment, like coming out of yoga, the one studio I was at that had showers. Okay. And I was reluctant at first, like, I don't know, you know, using public this showers. That place is really clean. And anyway, so I this was like, at this point, we're in this middle of the summer. I'm doing hot yoga. They come out of there. Wilding. And I was like, yeah, straight wilding, son. And I was like, I mean, you know what I mean? I'll bring stuff for the shower next time. Let me bring some shower stuff. And when I got out and hit the streets, man, ready to go.
What a feeling.
Line up another montage song. And what a feeling might have been the one.
Listen, I was on the montage wave with
you. You're scoring, okay?
Executive producing is a lot of work, Ambush. You know, when you really want to get your vision out there. And bring others' visions to fruition.
Yeah, yeah.
Through your impeccable ability to see it through. It's Billy Joe!
Nice.
I'm sorry for yelling in y'all ear. That is such an awesome picture. Yes. Thank you so much.
Oh, man. Love you too, man.
Okay, that's the gear.
Okay, now we know.
I'm here for it.
Now we know.
Wow. Yeah. Good bike, too. I like the handles. Those are the, you got like three different ways you can hold those.
Yeah.
You know?
Are you a competitive rider? That's what it looks like there.
Those are the handles of a
serious business.
Of a serious bike.
Yeah, a serious bike riding.
That's serious business.
There ain't no huffy. Tell you that.
All right. I'm jumping right into this because this is local news here.
Yeah.
But for our national listeners, again, please, this matters to you too, because this is happening everywhere. And gives us the bigger picture that, you know, we really do need some more local Mom Donnies.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we do.
We need some city and state Mom Donnies.
We could all use a Mom Donnie these days.
Listen. So the Hillsboro Farmland Data Center saga is about to... It is about more than just economic development. It is a land and power grab. This is policy, money, and power reshaping Oregon at the expense of farmers, water systems, and our land use legacy. And yes, Governor Tina Kotek is part of that backstory. Right now, the Oregon legislature is pushing Senate Bill 1586, a bill that would tear 1,700 acres of prime farmland north of Hillsboro out of longstanding rural reserve protection and give it a fast pass to industrial zoning.
You said 1,700 acres.
I did.
Okay.
Effectively paving the way for more data centers and advanced manufacturing facilities. That land was supposed to stay agricultural at least until 2065 under a deal made in 2014, but SB 1586 would override that through legislative flat. I'm sorry. Is that what that says? Fiat.
Yeah.
I don't know how to see. It's like legislative flat doesn't make sense.
Also, fiat. Legislative fiat, also known as
legislative flat.
To be clear.
To be clear, that is the AKA.
Yeah, that is the jargon. Okay. that is the appropriate nomenclature.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Instead of through Oregon's usual land use process. Data centers aren't benign corporate campuses. They eat up massive amounts of electricity and water, barely employ local people once they're built, and can cost communities an infrastructure stress that everyday families and small businesses ultimately pay for, especially through tax incentives and utility impacts. I know you're wondering where Tina fits in. This exact parcel of land was on her radar before it became SB 1586. In 2024, the legislature gave her temporary authority to expand urban growth boundaries. Authority she almost used to pull hundreds of acres into industrial designation near Hillsboro for a planned semiconductor research hub tied to federal funding. Sorry, y'all. I'm going to get this together. That designation would have circumvented normal land use protections, too. And it was opposed by farmers and conservation groups then. After Oregon failed to land the research hub, the federal research hub, Kotek quietly stepped back from that specific boundary expansion, but didn't close the door on future industrial development there.
Cool.
In other words, 1 year ago, she was ready to move the same farmland into industrial use for chip tech development. Once the federal deal fell through, the baton was passed right over to Senator Jeanine Solman of SB 1586, is now trying to do the same thing through legislation instead of executive authority. Kotek has consistently championed tech and semiconductor growth in Oregon, including working with industry on chips-related development and economic incentives in Washington County, the same area where this farmland sits. Meanwhile, critics are pushing back and asking at what cost. Opposition isn't coming from just random commenters online this time. Conservation groups, agricultural trusts, and land use watchdogs have pointed out that Senate Bill 1586 would override decades of thoughtful planning, eliminate rural protections, and leave huge environmental liabilities in its wake. There's also a growing chorus calling on Governor Kotek to take a clearer stand, not to lead the push herself, but to ensure that any development doesn't undercut hard-fought protections or saddle taxpayers with backdoor giveaways to a multinational tech firm. The truth is, data centers bring big tax breaks for companies, huge infrastructure costs for families, leaving many families across Oregon asking why public money and prime farmland should be sacrificed for facilities that employ a handful of workers
right.
and draw down critical natural resources. They aren't anti-technology. They're anti-giving away the farm, literally, without real accountability or long-term community benefit. If SB 1586 passes, Hillsboro could be reshaped not by local planning and public input, but by legislative shortcuts designed to help industry and land speculators. And while Kotek hasn't spearheaded this bill, her past actions and economic priorities show she's part of the same policy ecosystem that's elevating big tech interests over community and environmental stability. Fiancés, this is exactly the kind of fight where transparency, public testimony, and pressure from ordinary people matter most. And I mean that They did that in Denver just recently, were able to stop a data center from happening by pressure from the community. So if you care about farmland and water, school funding, fair economic policy, now is the time to raise your voice. If you are in that area, if you are in Washington County, if you are in North Plains or Hillsboro, Stop the Sprawl is part of, you know, one of the slogans of not trying to create these massive
resistance. Resistance to the encroachment.
Oh, thank you. That's much better.
Boy.
Yeah, because legislators and industry insiders are already speaking loudly for themselves, right? Like, they're doing a whole lot. They're also, you know, getting the politicians the right language to be able to lie to our faces.
Yeah. Yeah. Lobbyists are great. They pull it together, man. They pull that stuff together.
This is particularly, I don't know, upsetting's probably the wrong word because this is really par for the course, but there was a community meeting about this and that Senator Jeanine Solomon did show up. And she said that this bill makes it so there are no standalone data centers. And you may be saying, well, what does that mean? What's a standalone data center?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Ambush, you own Data Center 101. And I own Data Center 99.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just have yours there and then I have mine somewhere else.
They got to be grouped together.
Because they can't, it's not going to be a standalone, is the way that they're saying this. But if you put a qualifying facility next to, then there's unlimited, there's no limit to how many data centers there could be. It's no longer standalone.
And what qualifies as a qualifying facility? Like any other type of something, any other type of business?
It's sort of. It's not any other kind, well, okay, but a qualifying business.
Yeah. So maybe we have facility. A warehouse that does shipping or something next to the data center.
Right.
Then I could put more data centers because then it's not a standalone.
Correct.
Okay.
Because you know, with the idea, I think that she's saying, like, it's not like there can be a whole bunch of data centers that are owned by all the same, all the different things. You know, it's not going to be Intel here and Google there and so-and-so here and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? It's It won't be a free-for-all. Oh, it'll just be consolidated?
Is the idea for that supposed to be, if it's not a standalone data center, because there's one of these qualifying, whatever, structures next to it, that that will offset, it will increase the amount of jobs because the footprint for data centers versus the amount of people they employ is, like, ridiculously high? I'm confused. I mean, obviously, it's just a tactic for a workaround. And I guess that goes to my other point, which I was, you know, holding while listening to you tell the story. I am never mad at wolves behaving like wolves. Mm-hmm. I am never mad at predators conducting themselves as such. We watch so much stuff, whether it's Dateline, whether it's A Perfect Union, whether it's Vice. We hear about how all of these companies, these major industrial leaders, whether it's a venture capital group, whether it's BlackRock over here, whether it's Whetstone over there, whether it's Wetwall, we hear about all these different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they're coming into the community and they're just doing whatever they want. Our legislators are elected by us to do the job of representing us. The second they stop representing us, I'm not saying don't protest. I'm not saying don't show up at these city council meetings and go into the state capitol. Continue to do all of that. But when our legislators put a toe out of line, we have to respond to them the same way these lobbyists respond to them. Mm-hmm. Quickly and to the point. Would you like to see another term?
Because, do you like this job?
Yeah, because you campaigned on protecting these acres and understanding what we need. And now all of a sudden, your judgment seems to be a little off and you're reconsidering. Out of here. Out of here. Out of here. Gone. As a matter of fact, we're not really interested in you showing up at the next parade doing the commencement speech. We don't want you signing any declarations on camera. We don't want you show. We don't want to see you in public anyway. Pack your things. Pack your things. We're eyeing the next person.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same story, though.
When you can stand up, though, in front of a community meeting about how much they do not want this to happen and the reasons why, it's always funny to me when the politicians that, you know, show up to these meetings assume that they will be able to talking point their way out of that, right, as if the people at the community meeting haven't looked into this more than the headline that they got from, you know, the Oregonian or whatever. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
they came to the meeting ready to talk.
No, they came to the meeting prepared with all of the information to share with their neighbors so that their neighbors don't get duped too.
Yeah.
Like, that little technicality of, she gets to get up there and say, no, there are no standalone data centers. This bill would not allow for that. And that's just literally a line. It's a line to say. It's a, you know what I'm saying? The bill technically bans standalone data centers unless they're attached to another facility. So they have not explained what that technically means
what
yet.
What qualifies them.
But for whatever reason, they think that sounds reassuring. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't sound reassuring to me.
No, you can order one of those blow up houses from Temu and put it
maybe
there.
it like
could be anything.
Because once you realize there's no limit on how many data centers, no cap on acreage that they use, and no percentage restriction on land use, all by just, you know, slapping a tiny qualifying facility next door, and then suddenly most of that land can become data centers. Like, that's not just a loophole. That loophole is huge.
Yeah. Yeah. I need decisions like this to become death warrants for people's administrations. Your term is over. It's time. And we got to get you one out of here.
It's just absolutely amazing to like, who are these people in Oregon in leadership positions who are honestly forgetting who lives here?
That's just unacceptable, bro.
It's totally fine. You're just, hey, y'all can deal with this increased pollution and noise and the utility costs. And we'll just ruin the soil in the Willamette Valley. And the farmers, you guys are getting priced out by speculation. That's tough.
You know, they don't have it hard enough.
But if you don't know this, BlackRock pays quick, you know? They'll wire the money to you, you know? They'll also come and get you out of that area as soon as that money hits. Hillsboro also already hosts dozens of data centers. Hillsboro is data centers, Intel.
Right. Y'all out there making chips. Cut it out.
It's a lot of business malls, as I call them, right? Like, that's already what you got going on. The economic payoff has not materialized from what has already been promised.
Yeah.
And now you want folks to buy into the idea that more of what doesn't help will?
Dib said, I moved from Texas for this ish.
Listen! Talk about wasted energy.
Bruh. At least we do have a better power grid.
Texas honestly blows my mind. There's so much money there.
Yeah.
There's so much money.
It's rich. It's rich. Rich with funds. Dibs, you got a shout out on the Monday show. I forgot what the quote was, but we definitely got that from Dibs. I don't know, man. I am super, super tired of this runaround. Really am. They get to let these legislators get to rinse their hands when it comes time for campaigning again and just get everyone excited and riled up or scared of what the competition might present. And just fed up, man. Just fed up. I haven't spent a single working day on the farm. I haven't. I understand the importance, though, of farmland. I understand the importance of that industry. I understand, to a degree, the opposition and struggles they're already facing just to maintain.
Yeah.
And now it's like, you know what? Remember that land we agreed should stay just, you know, land for all of the myriad of reasons why we did that laundry list? This is better.
Bruh.
And for anyone that doesn't like, may not know, I feel like our listeners are very, very wise and informed. These data centers, they really, really are not bringing jobs. There's a friend of ours contractor.
Two security guards.
Right. He's a contractor that handles climate control and data centers. There's the shift security guards, and then that's it. There's not like people walking up and down the aisles wearing white lab coats and glasses and talking to each other with clipboards.
A look at which light is blinking.
Yeah, no, that's not what's happening. These are quiet, cold places, echoing your footsteps, echoing for yards. Like there's no one in these places unless there's something going wrong. And someone, you know, doing some upkeep. Like, this is not bringing jobs. It under no circumstances are bringing jobs. No more than a convenience store.
I mean, you got to understand that when they're talking about expanding parts of Intel, and they're like, this is going to bring a bunch of jobs. I want y'all to know.
Yeah.
Them jobs came from California.
Yeah.
A lot of people from not here got those jobs.
Yeah.
And this isn't even me being mad at any of those folks that got the jobs. The point is, the people in power lie directly to us, tell us we're going to get jobs, and not even a thought. Literally, it isn't even a thought.
No, not even.
It isn't even a thought. That is not their point. They do not care about employing local folks. They do not care about having a booming local economy. Their local economy is global.
Period. Get with it.
Yeah. It ain't here. What do you want to do? You want to jump right into Potham? Or did you want to take a music break?
I keep forgetting. I got to get that logo and stuff, that branding stuff designed. I did want to make sure we got the city councilor story in. It was in the
Go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys. You may not have heard, but Portland City Councilor Loretta Smith has withdrawn a proposal that would have permitted councilors to open carry firearms while conducting city business. Following swift backlash from colleagues and community members, Smith drafted the plan after protesters disrupted a Wednesday evening city council meeting, telling OPB the incident made her feel unsafe. Under current law, individuals with a valid license may carry a concealed firearm in most public buildings, but open carry is prohibited inside City Hall. Smith had argued that allowing counselors to open carry weapons would serve as a deterrent. It's a defense mechanism, she told OPB. If people know that you're a serious person and you're going to protect yourself, they're not going to be as quick to mess with you.
I'm going to bite my tongue.
Off.
Like, all the way through. Like, this hurts.
Yeah.
Trying to be quiet clean. While you read
bite
this.
Bite it clean off.
I'm going to flip the table.
Yeah.
I'm going to bite the microphone.
Okay.
I don't know what that sounds like.
Yeah.
I'll try not to do it.
The proposal,
I'm so mad right now.
Yeah. The proposal, however, was quickly criticized by fellow counselors and protesters who raised concerns about increasing the presence of firearms in government spaces. We should have fewer guns at government buildings, not more, Councilor Samir Kanal wrote in the social media post. Councilor Mitch Green described the idea as ridiculous. According to Smith's office, she formally rescinded the proposal Friday in a statement. Smith said she denounces violence and emphasized that firearms are not the first solution to conflicts. Adding that she now intends to focus on strengthening safety protocols at City Hall. I saw some footage of the protesters in this particular situation. Ms. Smith, Councilor Smith, was holding her phone to capture the protester that got real close to her.
Yeah. Who also had a security guard.
There you go.
Holding.
There you go.
The protester that was close to her with the piece of paper.
Yeah. There were multiple security guards there handling the situation.
So do we not need security guards?
We need security guns.
Was she about to come out and put the gun on the dais and be like, what's up with it, y'all?
This is what I'm saying.
What do you mean I need to open carry? Is it on your pantsuit? Like, just you've clipped it to your suit jacket?
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Who's this for? Protect you from what exactly? People with pieces of paper?
People with opinions? Opposing opinions?
Loud people with pieces of paper do not need to be met with guns. And I think that there is a understanding of that when it comes to protests elsewhere for things.
Right.
You don't want the person too close to you. Then the protocol for security is you ain't supposed to be able to get that close to, you know what I'm saying? You don't need a gun. You don't need a weapon. You don't need, these are loud people with pieces of paper.
The escalation that causes. So now let's say that were to pass, right? Let's say it went all the way. Dibs killed that.
No. I'm sorry, please continue.
Let's say that would have moved forward, right? So now, how many counselors are carrying, are open carrying firearms because they can, right? Maybe they didn't feel the need to before, but now it's like,
well, oh, why not?
We can do it. Sure. Cool. Outside of that being an intimidation factor,
tactic
for people that just want to voice their concern, then what is the public, like, the ratcheting up just happens on both sides.
I want to know what you're going to do with that gun that you have there now that you can open carry. Are you going to shoot a protester for being annoying? Like, what is the gun supposed to do? What do you mean we need to be able to have them, but also they aren't the first line of defense? What are you... Have y'all seen the other guys?
If you haven't seen the other guys, please watch it this weekend. Please.
Treat yourself. And
it's one of the best movies ever created.
There's a lot of laughs to be had.
Too many.
In that movie. But one of them is when Will Ferrell's character gets his gun taken away. And the captain gives him a wooden gun. That they use for, like, ceremony, I think he said.
Yeah.
What is his name? Batman. What is his name?
Michael Keaton.
Thank you. Man, I was having trouble there.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess you could have a wooden paperweight that looks like a gun. That would also be weird.
Yeah.
That was such a reactionary response. That it's hard for me to actually understand it coming from that particular person.
Yeah, no, for real.
That was so reactionary, such a, from such a privileged, weird, like, do you know, like, how dare you be near me type energy? You are serving the people. You begged us to let you serve us.
And now you want
to
serve
us? You paid to get this job. And by that, I mean every single person who campaigns is paying while they interview for the job that they want. You did that all to then tell us you so scared of the people you begged to serve that you need to be able to bring a gun to work? But not just bring the gun to work. You also need to show everybody that you got the gun at work. Bro, be for real. Get real serious.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's absolutely, actually insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean that. Like, that that's not a even a marketplace of ideas kind of idea, fam.
That's off.
That's wild work.
It's off the rocker completely.
That's wild work.
Associate of ours said that in some public forum online, I'm not sure if it's a Facebook post or maybe a news story, but in the comments was all these Second Amendment gun rights people like,
yeah, sure, imagine who starts to agree with you.
Right.
Imagine as the black woman that you are, some of those same people can't wait to open carry the gun to shoot you.
Yeah. Period.
And here you are. Maybe we should do guns at work day. Like, that's not reasonable.
Not even close.
That's not a reasonable response to people begging you to do more. You were not about to get hurt. You know what I'm saying? Like, that wasn't a threatening thing. That person was trying to put a piece of paper in y'all face.
Right.
Because the words aren't getting clicking for you. Read it then, maybe. And if you really honestly had time to pull that phone out and sat there, I didn't see her push back from the thing. I didn't see her make any more space between them. Mm-mm. She pulled her phone out and recorded. This is not the leadership I'm looking for. Y'all need to be able to engage with the people that are challenging you on the decisions that you make.
It's part of the job.
Like, that is, it's such wild work. It's hard for me to be able to articulate how disappointed I am that that's something you even jumped out the window to say we should do and had to, like, real quick retract.
It's scary decision making from leadership.
Yeah.
It's scary decision making. And we want to be clear.
Reckless.
This is not to underscore the safety challenges any of our city councilors might have. You know what I'm saying? And not just certainly at the building, at their homes, out in public. It's absolutely real. It's absolutely real. That is the political climate that we're in. We understand that. However, just like it would be completely ridiculous for teachers to walk around with guns at their job, this level, this type of escalation, that ain't it. That's playing into it. The open carry
idea is, like you said, this is an intimidation tactic.
Yeah.
This is something that is supposed to pump fear
exactly
into other people. And is that what you are supposed to do as a city council member?
That's how you want to be led. That's how you want to be leading.
That's fear? How you lead
through fear. That's what you want. Nah,
you can keep that
all the way. Dib said, firearms in government buildings. Don't Texas my Oregon.
That's the one.
Yeah, man.
That is the one. There's our slogan.
Don't Texas my Oregon.
I mean, we stole Keep Portland Weird from Austin.
Did we?
I'm pretty sure that's how that went. It was Austin. Keep Austin Weird.
Dang, son.
We are the Portland is the Austin, or Austin is the Portland of Texas.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, Dibs might be able to, you know, anyone could correct me if you know the answer. I'm not saying it can only be someone from Texas. But I think so. I think that that's right. Yeah, I think it's we took it from there in a, you know, sister city kind of loving relationship.
Of course.
Totally reciprocal. We, you know, have exchange student programs between Portland and Austin. No.
I
it's hard for me to even think about going into the next story because I'm still so upset about. I mean, I want to be clear. I'm happy that Councilor Smith did, rescind that reckless ask. But I have my head in my hands. I just don't even know. Like, how did we get there? This is not. What do you mean? This ain't the first rodeo for her.
No, it's not.
And I don't want to just make it about her. I just, you know what I mean? Like, I think that anybody who had this idea, I'd be losing my mind right now.
Period.
It hits closer to home for obvious reasons.
Definitely.
And I know what the leadership of Black women can do.
Incredible
thing. I know what the leadership of Black and brown and indigenous women can do. And seeing this council have that kind of representation and incredible limitations on what those folks are able to do. But then also, we ain't got no time to shift from work together to guns on the table. Like, who are you fighting, fam? Do you understand what the federal government is doing right now? Mm-hmm. Do you understand the terror that people are living in on a day-to-day basis? Do you understand that in your own city, people are getting kicked out of their houses because the programs that we have in place aren't, that have approved them for payment, aren't paying their rent?
Still.
Do you understand the amount of money that y'all found?
God.
That's going to take who knows how long for y'all to decide how that money's going to get spent in a way that doesn't do what it was supposed to do in the first place. There are so many crises happening right now that the idea that you are fearing for your safety because a protester, resident of the same place you live, inside of the city hall, holding a piece of paper up to your face is just too much.
We need to get an apology. Rescinding isn't enough.
It's not enough.
Rescinding isn't enough. You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And in the Halen Wheeler, Manzanita, Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. No, it's not enough. It's absolutely not enough. Go ahead.
This is not related to that, but Dib said, yes, I'm okay. Right. It was encouraged by the dude in Austin, too. So it was, sister city exchange.
Did it in Austin. Okay. Yeah. Look at you. Y'all be knowing.
Hey, I hail from the City of Roses.
You do.
You know? You do. And I have nothing else.
Yeah. There we go.
Really, I love it here. And I want it to be what it has promised to be and what its potential is.
That part. That's right. Go ahead.
Like,
snaps all around.
This is such an incredible place.
It is.
And can be multiple communities of people doing, like-minded things. And I don't mean that we all have to agree on stuff, but we do have to agree on what community means and how we take care of each other. And there was a far better understanding of that
right. Previously.
There's always going to be politicians that want to, quote, keep up with global or with the national standards of certain things. And they're going to want the data center. They're going to want the federal money to be able to, enrich their own friends.
Right.
There's always going to be that. But this is a place that kicked Walmart out. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the place where small business actually was more important. I'm going to take the time to go to this store that's around the corner, mm-hmm. then sit in my house and order the thing online.
I have a relationship with these people. Community. Yeah.
That mattered. And I'm not on some like super nostalgia. I'm just saying that can still happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that feeling, that connectedness with the people in your community is what actually makes your life better. It is taking care of each other in a way where, you can go to the Alberta Co-op and say, I don't mean the actual one, but I mean, I have $10. This is $11. I get paid tomorrow. Can I bring you $1? Like, it's those kind of things that. Thing. And we're just not. We're so far removed from that. And it honestly, it's the kind of thing that breaks my heart. It's not just like, I want it to be better here. It's supposed to be.
Yeah.
The potential is infinite. And when there are people from outside who have lived other places that understand, they come here and they understand how great. And they see that potential. Don't Texas my Oregon.
It me. Thank you guys so much. That was another News of My Fiance brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush and our illustrious podcast editor, Kyle G. Residual Audio. Kyle will make sure all the texts are in the description. The playlist is updated. So you know the deal. Don't let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so, so much.
We love you all.
We love you all. And we will catch you guys Monday night, 6:30 on the YouTubes.
We love you, P-Town, forever and ever. Forever and ever. Bye.